We continue our thinking in the Sermon on the Mount, and this morning we've arrived at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. I want to deal with verse 25 to the end of the chapter here this morning, as it's all one subject. In this last part of this chapter, all anxiety for the believer is forbidden. The sort of anxiety forbidden to God's true people is clearly seen as the Lord repeats it three times. Look there in verse 25. Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, or for your body, what you shall put on. And then verse 28. Why, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and take no thought for raiment, for clothing. And then verse 31. Take no thought saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? How shall we be clothed? And then lastly, verse 34, where we see, take no thought, therefore, for tomorrow, for what you're going to eat and drink and be clothed with. So it's pretty clear that the Lord seems to be making a very important point here, as he repeats it so often through these verses. Now, anxiety, care, worry, over-concern, well, of course, these are all very human and natural traits. And the Lord is not saying here that we should never worry. He's not saying here that we should never be anxious. He's not saying here that we should never be concerned about anything. In that condition, well, we would be not much more than brutes. Well, of course, we would always say, be anxious about your soul. Be anxious about your own spiritual welfare. Be anxious as to whether you know the Lord and have known his forgiveness and his converting power. Of course, be anxious about those things. There are those of us that would encourage each other and we would say, be anxious about the church, its smallness, its frailty. We would say, be careful, be anxious about the churches today in their movement away from the Bible, in their movement away from true reverent worship. Of course, we should be anxious about those things. And of course, we would say, let's be anxious about the state of our nation, the direction it's going in, and all its godlessness, and the vile laws that are passed from time to time by even our representatives. Of course, be anxious about these things. Pray hard about them. Of course, we should be anxious for our children and our grandchildren. They be saved and grow up to love the Lord and to serve him. Of course, there are plenty of things that the Lord wouldn't forbid us to be anxious about. In fact, if we were not anxious about those things, then I wonder if there's any spiritual life in us. Of course. But here, there is a certain area of things that the Lord is very definite about and very clear about, which there is no doubt that for the Christian believer, he says, we're not to worry about these things. We're not to be over-concerned for them. And as we've seen in these verses, things to do with what we eat and what we drink and our clothing. Now, of course, the sort of language that the Lord uses here is not, well, you would be happier if you didn't become over-caring about these things. And he doesn't sort of say, well, don't you think it's a good idea if you didn't worry about these things? And the Lord, of course, is not saying, wouldn't it be a good witness if you never cared about these things? Well, it would be, but that's not what he's saying here. This is not so much an encouragement, not to do something, though we are encouraged not to worry over certain things. No, this is much more a command. A command from the Lord Jesus Christ concerning anxiety and worry and over concern about certain things. He says we must take no thought of it. Don't be anxious, he says. We must take this command seriously. First of all then, let's be clear about what we should not be over anxious about. There in verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. For your life. Now, of course, for the apostles that were listening and the disciples of those days, well, the Lord knew what awaited them. And even life itself was not to be cared for in an anxious oh, what is going to happen to me? As persecution and life threatening situations became more and more the experience of the early church, and of course many around this world today. Actually, that's no different for us. We do, of course, live in easier circumstances at the moment as far as persecution is concerned, but even life itself. If we are saved, it's not to be such a thing to be anxious about. We are saved. We are heaven bound. We're safe in the Saviour's hand, in our Heavenly Father's hand. None can pluck us from it. And so we should not be over anxious for our life. We'll all be in the glory soon. So why should we have anxious cares about our life? But especially here, the Lord is speaking of the body. Verse 25, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you should drink, or the clothing that you'll put on. Well, here, of course, the body and its needs, its everyday essentials of life. Our food, our drink, our clothing. Verse 28, our clothing again. There again, all through the rest of these verses, these three things crop up, the daily necessities of life. We must suppose that in speaking of these three essentials, food, clothing, drink, that the Lord must mean all the basic necessities of life, of course. So there in verse 33, all these things, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Well, these things that the Lord actually mentions, of course, represent all the other things that we need. You see the word need there in verse 32. Well, your Heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. And in the pattern prayer, in this same chapter, in verse 11, we are called to pray, give us this day our daily bread. And as we looked at that, and as we've looked at it in the past, we know that it doesn't just mean bread. It means all our daily necessities, spiritual necessities also. The Lord's keeping care and his watchfulness over our souls and our testimony. Of course, we pray for all those basic necessities, all that we need. We need to live somewhere. We need physical protection in some lands. That might be protection from disease and war and the terrorist. I should think that it is all very basic to the life of the Lord's people and indeed anyone else. But why does the Lord make so much of this? Some might say, what's the harm in a little worry? Isn't it natural? But we can be sure that the Lord has our best at heart in all these things. And here, I want to give you five reasons. Five reasons why the Lord forbids over-anxious care for the basic necessities of life, the things that we need every day. Here's the first thing, the first reason why the Lord says we should not be over-anxious. Look at the therefore in verse 25. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life. If you are always worried, if you are always anxious about those basic necessities, then it will prove that you're not really serving the Lord. You see, in verse 32, it mentions the Gentiles in the context of the Sermon on the Mount. That means unbelievers. Unbelievers there. And in verse 24, we have no man can serve two masters. He'll either love one and not the other, or despise one and hold to the other one. Well, what's going on here? What's this all about? Well, if we're forever being anxious about food, clothing, domestic things like that, the basic necessities, if our whole life is just given over to only ever worrying about those things, there won't be any time left for serving the Lord. There won't be any time left for devotion. There won't be any time left for seeking to live a holy life and witnessing for the Lord. Those things will take over. And so this is one of the reasons why the Lord says, don't be over anxious for those things. There's other things that are more important. And we'll come to those in just a moment. It's very, very important. If we are always occupied in our minds with care and worry over the ordinary things of life, well, then you'll find that the spiritual things don't get a reckoning in our lives, and we will find it hard to serve the Lord. So that's the first reason why he tells us not to be anxious about these things. Here's the second thing. not to be over anxious about the ordinary necessities of life. You see, even as Christians, we may prove by our anxiety over such things that we have very little faith in the everyday sense. It's there in verse 30, isn't it? At the end of the verse where the Lord says, well, the Lord's going to clothe you. He's going to give you what you need. But if you're over anxious about these things, then you are of little faith. Of little faith. Now, the Christian has been called to a life of faith. There are so many things that we need to believe in from time to time and from day to day. Of course, when we first come to the Saviour, we have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to trust that what he did on the cross can save us, and we have to entrust ourselves to him. But then comes the day by day faith of the Christian. We have to believe him for all sorts of things. Big things, small things. But if we're only ever thinking of the mundane things, if I can say, though they are important, but if I can say it like this, if we only ever think of food and drink and clothing, then of course there's little time for having faith and trust in the big things of life. Lord, help me to be a witness for thee. Lord, help me to bring my children up in the fear and nurture of the Lord. Lord, help me to be a good church member, to band with the others in proclaiming the gospel in that dark area of London. You see, if we're always anxious about the ordinary things of life, then we'll have no time to have faith and trust in the Lord for the big things that the Lord has called us to. And we struggle. We struggle to believe God in the big decisions of life and the dark and fearful situations we sometimes find ourselves in. We're anxious about our food and our clothing and our domestic scene. We're thinking about that all the time. So the big thing happens and there's no trust in the Lord. It's not there. We haven't got any spiritual energy left for that sort of trust, and so we are of little faith. It's all hard enough for us to maintain faith in God our Saviour, but God wants us to prove him in these great and weighty matters, and yet so often we cannot even trust him in the smallest things, or at least things in which for many years the Lord has provided for us, has seen to it that all our needs have been met. And yet still, we're over concerned and worried about these matters. So no wonder he says, oh ye of little faith. Why? If we cannot prove him faithful and trust him in all the obvious and basic necessities of life, what chance do we have of proving him and trusting him for great and big and giant spiritual matters in our lives? To do great things for him, to see a harvest of souls won for the Saviour, to stand strong and valiant for the truth, to build a church for our Saviour. If we cannot prove faithful in little things, how will he entrust us with the large and crucial things in the kingdom? The Lord often spoke in this way, as we very well know, O ye of little faith. Here's a third reason. A third reason why he forbids this sort of anxiety over the basic necessities of life. Well, because there's enough to worry about today, without worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow as well. We have that in the last verse of the chapter. Therefore, take no thought. No anxious thought is the idea for the things of tomorrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. When you get there, you'll have worry enough. Sufficient unto today is the evil thereof. You've got enough on your plate for today to be anxious about than to worry about things for tomorrow. Well, I might say somewhat facetiously that if you're someone who sort of almost enjoys worrying, and there seem to be those sort of people because they're always doing it, if you're someone who sort of enjoys worrying, then take your eyes off your own scene. Take your eyes off your own scene. There is plenty to worry about. There's plenty to be careful about. There's plenty to be concerned about that will drive you to your knees. You see, we have our food on our tables from day to day, and then we hear of the dire straits that the Lord's people are in, say, Lebanon. And then we begin to think, oh, we should be caring for them, be anxious for them, praying for them, giving for them, rather than worrying about our own situation. So there's plenty to worry about, plenty to be anxious about in a right and proper way. and it will drive us to our knees. Well, God forbids this sort of everyday worry about things that we shouldn't worry about. Take no thought, verse 34, for the morrow will take care of the things of itself. And here, fourthly, the Lord forbids anxiety over everyday things because there's something that must take priority over that. Of course, you know what it is there in verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things, these ordinary things, they'll come your way. The Lord will make sure you're provided for in these ways, unless there's something special whereby he wants you to testify as to the Lord's goodness in great straits and terrible circumstances. But generally, the Lord will provide for our needs. Well, we must say when we look at this verse, of course, you look at it in two ways. First of all, for the non-believer, the non-Christian. What are you worried about? What are you caring for? What are you anxious about? This is what you ought to be anxious about first, the kingdom of God. Are you in it? Are you one of his people, his children? Have you come into this spiritual kingdom in your heart so that you know the Saviour and you love him? That's what you ought to be concerned about first, whether your sin is forgiven, whether you're on the high road to heaven. Oh, friends, that's what we ought to consider first before any other consideration in life should come this consideration, the kingdom of God. Seek that first. Know that you're in it. Know that you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith and repentance, by the yielding up of the life to him. That's the first thing. Of course, that's the case. So don't worry about food and drink. Well, those things probably come your way in our affluent society. But oh, friends, first of all, seek the kingdom of God. But then also for Christians. This is so important, this verse for Christians. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Righteousness, the kingdom of God, the church, the gospel, your own personal holiness. These things are to have priority in your life. And as we said right at the beginning, be anxious about those things. Have a careful concern for your own spiritual welfare. Make sure you're in prayer day by day and in the Word. Make sure you're coming and hearing the ministry of the Word of God. These are the important things. Make sure you're witnessing for the Saviour. Make sure that spiritual things have great priority in your life over even the domestic. While we know that the poor housewife has much to contend with, especially if they have a large family, we know there's all sorts of things they've got to be concerned about, and that's right. But even to such, we say your concern first must be for the kingdom of God, for righteousness, your righteousness, and your walk with God and your faith. It's so, so important. And of course, the lesson is so straightforward from the lips of the Saviour here. These are way and above more important and should take up all our care and consideration with a real care and concern for the kingdom of God. We should have no mental energy left to worry about the basics if we really were putting the kingdom of God first in that sense, in all our consideration and prayer and service for the Lord. And then fifthly, why is it that the Lord forbids anxious care for the everyday things of life? Look there in verse 32 at the end. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Well, that should do it, shouldn't it? On its own. Our Heavenly Father knows we need these things, so why should we worry about them? Why should we have anxious care for these things? And if he knows, then it's all so bad if we worry. If we understand that our Heavenly Father knows that we need these things, and then we wring our hands and we fret and are in trouble about these things from day to day, that's bad, isn't it? Can we really be the Lord's? Can we really be walking with him? Can we really have any faith in his tender care towards us? Of course, that's so bad if we are over anxious. We are saying, he doesn't care. He doesn't care for me. We are saying, he cannot provide for me. We are saying our relationship, that father-child relationship, spiritually, that we have entered into by conversion, it doesn't count for anything. And that is all so bad for us. So the Lord forbids it. He forbids anxious care over the basic necessities of life, for it might prove we're not his. It shows that we have little faith. There are enough things to be concerned about. The kingdom, the gospel, righteousness must have priority. And he knows what we have need of. Well now, as this is the Lord's commandment to us, his people, there is also here much encouragement to keep such a commandment. And the encouragements come here through the illustrations. Just look here, first of all, at the end of verse 25. Well, is not the life more than food, and the body more than clothing? That's the illustration that the Lord gives. Life is more than food, of course. The body is more than clothing. Well, what exactly does the Lord mean here by saying that? The illustration is this. If God has given us a body which is of great worth to him, then will he not supply its needs? That body's needs? Of course he will. Will he not supply things of less worth to keep that which to him is of great worth? So we are not to be worried. We must see that that is so. And then look here at the birds in verse 26. Behold the fowls of the air, they sow not, they do not reap, neither gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they are? We must not think that the birds are lazy. Sometimes I look at the birds on the feeders in the garden and it seems as if they're eating away all day. But then you realise they have to. They have to. If they didn't, well, they would perish. And so we see our Heavenly Father cares for those birds. It's hard enough life for them, storing up, gathering, eating enough to survive. But all that the birds do is instinctive. They have no care or worry. It's as if they all have an absolute trust and belief in their Creator, and God feeds them. Said the robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know why all these human beings rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me. Wow. We love that little poem, but it's also true. It almost as if it comes from this part of the scripture. Now the Lord Jesus says to his true people, you not only have a Creator, but a Heavenly Father. Are we not so much better with our immortal souls and the birds which the Lord takes care of? Of course we are, in God's eyes. And if he cares for the birds, will he not care for us? Of course he will. Of course he will. And then there is a sort of negative encouragement there in verse 27. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? By taking thought, that's the same expression as take no thought. Take no thought. No anxious thought can make us taller. No anxious thought can change any situation that we are in. It's ridiculous to think that we can change things by being anxious. The thought itself is ridiculous. We cannot. We cannot take any years off our age by having anxious thoughts. We cannot change our basic physical characteristics by having anxious thoughts. Maybe worry will shorten life, or bow us over with care and make life shorter. So what's the use of worrying? It's really not worthwhile. It's not getting to do, it's not going to do us the slightest good. So don't do it. That's what the Lord is saying here, literally in these words. And then here, verse 28 to 30. Well, he says, verse 28, and why take ye thought for food? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They do not toil, they don't spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Therefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? The lilies, here, the flowers of the field, the grass. Flowers do not even have the instinct of the birds, of course not. Here is a sort of double argument. First, if God provides for the short-lived flowers and grass, surely he will provide for his children all the way through to eternity. Of course, if flowers in the summer, you see a meadow full of wonderful wild flowers, wonderful. And then a few weeks later, they're all gone. Why, where we lived in Scotland, there was what was called the maquia. And in the spring, there would be almost miles and miles amongst the grass, what a beautiful, tiny, coloured flowers, and it would be resplendent to look at it. But 2 days later, there'd be a frost, and it would all be gone. It was there one moment, perish with cold and frost in the next moment. Well, that's what the Lord is saying here. He so closed the field, but you're going to last longer than that. We've got our 70 years or so, and some of us longer. Well, the Lord will watch over us in that time. He knows about the grass, and he knows about us. And then secondly, if God decks the flowers with such beautiful garments, so that even Solomon was not arrayed like one of these. Remember when the Queen of Sheba came to see Solomon, and she saw the sitting of his servants and their livery, and all the splendour of the throne room and the marvellous temple that God had instructed him to build, and his marvellous palace, and no doubt his royal robes, all those things when she saw, well, he was gloriously arrayed. But the Lord says here, the flowers of the field. Well, even Solomon doesn't compare to those things. Well, that's a marvellous illustration, isn't it? And so, if God decks the flowers with such beautiful garments, surely he will give the ordinary garments to provide for our needs. If we worry and constantly fret over such things, well, then we are of little faith. So we have these encouragements, and then we must say in closing that there here is a very great promise from the Saviour, there in verse 33, you saw it before. Well, for if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you. We're very careful as we explain such words as this. But what we're saying is, what priority is there in our lives as we think of spiritual things and as we think of all things? Are our priorities purely domestic? Are our priorities purely about the basic necessities of life? Well, that's what the unbeliever is thinking about. He's only thinking about what he wears, what he eats, where he lives, the entertainment that he can get. That takes up all his thinking, all his anxious thoughts, all his care and consideration. This must not be so for the Christian. The Christian has greater priorities, the kingdom of God. And even so, when we put these things first, the Lord will add all these other things to us. He'll give us marvellous entertainment. Of course, you understand what I mean. Spiritual joys and pleasures that come from his word and fellowship with his people and seeking to prove him from day to day, an answer to prayer, and a whole host of literature written by Christian people over the centuries that will thrill our hearts. Oh, friends, so much that will do us so much good. All these things will be added to us. But, of course, we must be those that seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The promise is first to the gospel seeker, seeker after salvation. What are you worried about? Anxious about so many things? Listen, take your heart and your mind off those things for a moment. Concentrate on seeking the Lord and knowing his blessing and his forgiveness and his salvation. The Lord will give you everything that you need when you do that. And for the Christian, we have experienced it for ourselves as we, through our lives, have sought to set him first in our lives and his kingdom and his righteousness. And the Lord has provided for all our needs. The testimony of the Lord's people has been wonderful. Even those of the poorest sort, even those that have had very little to share around even, have known the grace of God. Well, friends, we must be those that are going to be concerned about certain things which are right and appropriate and important. Concerned about the church, concerned about the kingdom, concerned about our own spiritual life. But let's not be concerned about the ordinary daily necessities of life. We've got to provide for ourselves. We've got to have an income. We've got to think about the shopping list for the rest of the week. That's not what this is all about. But friends, our priorities, the things that we really are worried about and concerned about in our lives. Oh, friends, there's enough evil in our lives and in the life of people round about us for today. Let's think about that Don't let's get over anxious about tomorrow. Let's be concerned with all that we have to deal with today. And the Lord will help us in all those things for tomorrow. He will supply his children. We can be sure of that. Amen.